Bread from Heaven, Part 2, taken from Exodus chapter 16. Today we shall be considering the latter part of the verses, from verse 22 to 36, bearing in mind what we have learned last Lord's Day. Our two thoughts: threatened with hunger, treated with heavenly food. We notice our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, He spoke to the disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. He taught us how we are to look at this earthly life. What should be the perspective of the Christian? What must be a right focus? He says in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And verse 26 of Matthew chapter 6, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Our Lord gave a very good illustration. Look at the birds that fly in the air. Look at the way God takes care of them. Do they have to gather barns to feed themselves? The Lord feedeth them. And He gave a most convincing argument. He says, "Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." You look at the flowers in the garden, in the beautiful pond, how they grow without effort. They grow, and they are so beautiful and alive in them. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of this. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not so much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? As God takes care of the birds, He takes care of the flowers, He takes care of the grass on the field, Jesus is saying to us that surely He will take care of you. Why are you so worried? Why are you so overly concerned with what you would put on and what you would feed on? For all these things to the Gentiles seek. The people of this world, earthlings, earthbound, would pursue all this with all their heart, soul, mind and strength. But you are a people with a higher calling, with a higher purpose. Jesus says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Does God not know what would be the best meal for you for dinner tonight? Surely He knows. And not only will He provide the meal, but He will also provide you with the appetite to partake of the meal. And Jesus says to us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That must be our priority. For if you examine the prayers of Christ, He would teach us first, as we have recited, how we need to first seek and hallow His kingdom, that His kingdom would come, that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the priority that God has for His people. Before He would teach us, give us this day our daily bread. There is an order of life, and there is a higher purpose. And so He asks us to have a right focus. Take therefore, He says in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have enough to think about and handle for this working day. Focus and do your best. Jesus exhorts His disciples not to fret when challenged with meeting the daily necessities of this life, but look to God for their sustenance. He will certainly add to them all these things that they may have no lack. So He's calling them to a higher purpose for life, that He has purpose for them. That was Jesus' words to us, that they mind the spiritual or overarching purpose for their existence. For the people of Israel, God is going to make them a national witness for Him. They needed to be mindful of the awesome spiritual mandate and privilege that God has given to them. So it is with the church. We are bought with a price, and we are called to be witnesses for Him, and we are sent forth as a people of God. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and the earth, and I will be with thee. This power, this authority that the Father has given to me will be with you to fulfill its purpose. For all this the Gentiles do seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. For the world at large, living a godless life, you will find that all they could see is that part of life. But you have been rescued from eternal judgment to a higher calling in life that promises eternal rewards. You ought to trust God for your daily supplies. You are to exercise faith in God. Their murmurings and complaining brought dishonor to their God. You recall in verse 6 and verse 7 of Exodus chapter 16. That even then ye shall know that the Lord brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against? The Lord heareth your murmurings, verse 8, which ye murmur against Him. Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. What is this murmurings? Well, these are words, heart of discontent in the heart of God's people. It was the reason why the children of Israel had to spend 40 years going round and round in the wilderness without ever entering the promised land. But throughout that time, God rained heaven, manna from heaven, and God sent quails in the night, morning and evening, to feed them, to help them to see that you have a heavenly Father who cares for you. But your life objective is not to wander round and round in the wilderness. We say in Malay, susah. Not a good life, isn't it? Wander round and round in the wilderness. But we are to go into the promised land, the land of milk and honey. Can we see the objective that God has for His people? Would we live above this world? In Chinese, we say, fa yun yin, murmuring, not happy. But Jesus cited the flowers in the field, the birds that He created, how He clothed and fed them. But we are more valuable than all of this. We are gloriously made in the image of God. And so Jesus challenged His disciples to live above the base and seek the noble purpose of life, and the base things will surely be taken care of. A believer shared about the daily struggle of life when he said, what comes from humans that is impossible for the Lord to experience? The answer is worry. We worry, worry, and worry. But by faith, he said, what comes from God, but it is impossible for humans to manufacture? Wisdom. And finally, he said, what is it that brings wisdom and dispels worry? What is it? The answer is worship. The worship of God. Then he concluded his assessment of the blessed Christian life when he said, let nothing frighten you. Nothing from the past, nothing today, nothing tomorrow. Our Heavenly Father will take care of us. Are you looking to Him? These words echo the teaching of our Lord, which teaches our listeners to cease from anxiety and worry over the physical and material well-being of our life. Anxious care will continue to pervade the heart. But the deliverer must continually realize that as a child of God, he's under the care of his almighty Creator God. Jesus uses the observations of everyday life to make the simple logic most powerful. And he uses the life of the Israelites in the wilderness to illustrate to us. So he says in verse 22 of our text, and it came to pass, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, that is it which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses says, eat it. Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath of the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall eat it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. The people of God were taught how they are to find in Him a day of rest, a day when they would lay contented to trust the Lord, to thank Him for the provision that He has given them. And so what did God ask Moses to instruct the Israelites to do? take double portion on the sixth day, so that on the seventh day, they would have the second portion to feed upon. It was a day of rest and worship that they have appointed, God has appointed for them, so that they would not overrun with it. So that the human machine would not go into overwork. God knows our frame, and He has ordained a way by which we may fulfill His holy purpose in our lives. And so He asked that the people of Israel to keep the seventh day of every week, one day every week, to trust Him to provide for them. Would you learn this lesson of faith and be willing to trust God to provide for you by taking a day of rest, whereby you would rest from your labor? For those who are working adults, you are willing to lay down your plow, you are willing to relinquish the toil. No doubt the inbox is very full, the in-tray is very full, and yet you said, leave it there. Leave it there. Let it remain there, for it's the day of the Sabbath that God has appointed for me to rest and to worship. That is God's way by which the people of God may find strength for life. And the people of Israel needed to learn this good lesson. And that is why the Lord, when they were threatened with hunger, fed them, treated them with heavenly food. They didn't have to do anything, but they would be able to receive what God would give to them for their sustenance. And so our Lord wants His children to realize that there is such a thing as faith in our Heavenly Father, and it's an indispensable thing for His children to have. We do not need to make the worst of our lot. We should make the best of it. And the Christian said well, no outward lot can give content to a grumbling soul. And a contented spirit may be found in the humblest home. In the humblest home. It is a great blessing to possess what one wishes. But it is greater still not to desire what one does not possess. Not to desire what one does not possess. The heart of a or the covetous heart, the fallen nature in men. Our Lord uses this scene of everyday life to help us to see. So He says, take no thought, take no thought for the things of this world. Last week we spoke about George Muller, the man who started many orphanages. And he testified of his glory and faithfulness. Muller was able to establish many orphanages for destitute children. He testified that God alone is our helper. And it is well observed, the glory of God is a living man, and the life of man consists in beholding Him. Israel needed to learn the lesson of trusting God as they fulfill His purpose for their lives. Verse 9 of Exodus 16 says, "Come near before the Lord, for He hath heard your murmurings." And it came to pass, verse 10, as Moses spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat the flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." And so last week we spoke about the dear brother whose father was a taxi driver. And he testified to us how when father came to know God, he decided that he would stop working on the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, he would rest and he would bring his family. At that time, one after another, they came to believe. Father used to work 7 days a week, very tiring, no rest. But when he became a Christian, he learned to rest one day, rest from his labor. And that is a life of faith in trusting God. And Israel had to learn this lesson, not only the Sabbath day, but also the Sabbath year. When they plant their crops, when they go into the land, they are to plant their crops for only 6 years. 7th year, no planting. They are to trust God to provide what was needed on the 6th year. So that on the 7th year, there would be no harvest. And the 8th year, when they begin to plant again, they have to wait until the end of the year before they receive their harvest. So 2 years. Why does God seek for us to do such things? Because He wants us to trust in Him. So that when we achieve what we achieve, we don't attribute our achievement to who we are and the strength that we have, how intelligent we are, how good we are. No, it's all from God. And so here we see how the Lord seeks for His people to learn that good lesson. And we also observe that God has a good purpose for His people. And we are to learn it and learn it well. But we say, alas, why is it that the people of God are still not happy and not satisfied? There was this announcement that was given on the 16th of October 2008. It was during the height of the financial crisis. And it was an announcement that was made by the Singapore government to guarantee on deposits of individuals and non-bank customers, financial companies and merchant banks in Singapore until the end of 2010. The announcement stated that the guarantee is backed by $150 billion of the Singapore government reserves. And it was commented that the move was to avoid an erosion of bank deposit bases. We remember insurance policy holders also showed signs of panic of what will become of their policies. I do not know if you remember that time. We saw the value of the reserves reduced by a third as a result of panic sell-off in the stock markets around the world, followed by the collapse of the Lehman Brothers. We saw the increasing vulnerability of this world's monetary system where governments of the world try to solve their debt problems by printing more money. Many signs of to solve the debt problem. Many signs of weakness are looming on the horizon. What should Christians do if there is indeed a run on the banks and we lose our hard-earned savings accumulated over the decades? What will you do? Suddenly, your life savings wiped out. What will you do? Is it a far-fetched scenario? Dear friends, I tell you, it is not. The Lord may allow so that we may know how to trust God when we have nothing to hold on to for our security. That's the life of faith. To trust God. And not in ourselves, not in our own ability. So, C.H. Spurgeon says, little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Our Heavenly Father has perfect knowledge of what you need, and He will surely supply us with all we need. The Father sent Jesus to assure us in person. The disciples of Jesus learned well when He broke the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to feed the 5,000. And there were 12 baskets left over after supplying to all. Jesus is the bread of life. He's not only the creator by His spoken word, but He's also the regulator of life. All things are in His hands. And He repeatedly emphasized this truth. If you have Him with you, fear not. Fear not. He will take care of you. And so when a financial crisis comes in 2008, there was a billionaire in Germany who could not take the blow. And what did he do? Well, he poured and pushed himself into a moving train and he perished. He says, I couldn't face the world. I couldn't face my family. Everything has collapsed around him. Well, should this be our plight? Should this be the lot of the Christians? Jesus says, God forbid, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Be a witness for the Lord. Be a witness of His truth. Be a witness to the people around us. Set this for your priority. And you would realize, right, that God takes care of everything. The writer said well, every generation has to bear its own burdens, to weather its peculiar perils, to pass through its manifold trials. We are daily exposed to temptations, whether it be of idleness, of self-indulgence, or vice. The feeling of duty and the power of courage must resist these things at whatever sacrifice of worldly interest. When virtue has thus become a daily habit, we become possessed of an individual character for fulfilling in a full measure the ends for which we were created. Is God, is seeking God and His righteousness a habit in your life? Well, this text teaches us, and the Israelites had to learn not to go out on the seventh day, but to pick a double portion on the sixth day. Will we learn this lesson too for our own well-being? A very simple lesson of observing and keeping the Sabbath. And I challenge you that if you would put God first and you would trust Him to take care of you in your studies, in your work, in that whatever stage that you are in, whatever stage of life that you are in, well, I say to you that you will discover that God will work in your heart to fulfill in you as a witness for Him. So you're coming to church, you're preparing to come, and your worship of Him, your devotion of Him. You know, there was a man who was a slipshod Christian. But he went into a church, and he was touched by those who are serving in the church, because he could see godliness in those character, in those men who were serving the Lord. And he says, it is so out of this world. And then he went for a tour. He went to the empty cathedrals in Europe. And he says, there I saw many magnificent edifices, but I could not see that character of God's people shining as I saw in the little church in the outskirts of that town in which I visited that day. God touched him, and he gave his life to the Lord to serve Him, because he saw the picture of true godliness, and he understood and saw the higher purpose whom God has called us to be. Do you see, dear friends? I pray that we all see, and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our spiritual life would thrive and grow from strength to strength. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen Thy people to understand and realize the calling that Thou hast given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to fulfill it. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.